My guest at this time is Virginia Republican Congressman Dave Brandt. He represents the Old Dominion's 7th Congressional District, and he is a member of the House Budget Committee. We want to get his reaction today to President Trump's meteor budget proposal. And Congressman, it's always good to have you with us.
Hey, great. Thank you, Greg. Great to be on.
Well, depending on who you listen to, this is either something that's going to kill a lot of kids or doesn't go very far. So I don't know how much you've had a chance to go through the details, but from what you've seen so far, what do you think of it?
Yeah, overall, I'm impressed. It's got the big pieces in the right place. The major piece I like is the policy aimed at getting 3% growth. That will solve a lot of problems going forward. And so on top of that, it pluses up the military, it tries to clean out the swamp, it reduces some bureaucracy, it balances in 10 years. All of these are good conservative policies. And, you know, this is President Trump's, first push, and then the House will put out its first push budget. And then by the time they make it their way through appropriations, things get much tougher in terms of the politics. But as a visionary document, we're moving in the right direction. Across the aisle on the Democrat side, they haven't even ever put forward a budget that balances, not even in a 75-year window. And so we're trying to get there. There's still obviously huge issues to go. Right now, some on the left are giving us a hard time over trying to save $1 trillion or so. But even if we save $1 trillion, that leaves you with another $100 trillion shortfall with Medicare, Social Security, Medicaid, et cetera. And those mandatory programs will account for 100% of all federal revenues in about 15 years. And that's not a typo, right? All federal revenues will be spent only on the mandatory. That means there's no money for the military, transportation, education, running government in 15 years. So, Republicans, we own it now. It's good. We've been running saying, hey, we're the responsible party up here. So we're trying to move in the right direction. This budget aims in the right direction. And there's still plenty of heavy lifting to go, but we need some help from the Democrats on some of these major challenges.
I want to get your thoughts on a number of different aspects of this. Let's start where you started with the projected 3% growth. How realistic is that, and what needs to take place for that to become a reality?
Yeah, well, Mick Mulvaney was in, and they just didn't pick that number out of the air. He had a, pretty methodical explanation of how they arrived at the 3% number. But just historically, it's reasonable, too. Back in the 1920s, JFK, bipartisan, got 5% real growth. Reagan got about 5% real growth from supply-side tax cuts. And so that's the key, right? That term is used as a pejorative right now in D.C., supply-side tax cuts. I taught economics for 20 years. The demand side is all the people out there and they're listening to the audience right now called consumers. The supply side is also everybody out there listening that works for a living in business. That's the supply side. So the supply side should not be a pejorative negative term. It's what you do all day when you go to work. You are suppliers of goods and services. And demand side stuff, we've tried, right? We've had bailouts, et cetera, that pump money back into people's pockets. It gives you an instantaneous jolt, but if you're serious about getting the economy growing, you better incentivize business. And Trump, I think, won the election probably on that more than any other thing, right? He's an outsized personality and businessman that was successful in New York City where the going is tough. And so I think people gave him the reins and said, hey, the place is a swamp, drain it, and get this economy moving. And so tax cuts, and incentives to get business hiring again so that your college kid comes out and can find a job and the labor force improves. The labor force participation is the lowest it's been in 40 years. Wages have been flat for 30 years. And people have anxiety and you see all this political upset. So if we solve that one, it's huge, right? Then I think a lot of the worries go away if we get this economy rolling again.
President Trump frustrated a lot of people, perhaps you included, during the campaign when he said he didn't really want to touch the major entitlements. He's obviously looking to cut spending in other areas, departmental in particular. What do you see on the entitlement front? And given the 15-year window that you mentioned a moment ago where every dollar of revenue would be going to fund those entitlements, do you make of his approach or lack of approach to that right now?
Yeah, I think he's going to have a hard time over the next couple years. This time might be able to eke by without addressing the mandatory programs. But yeah, just conceptually, Medicare, Social Security, et cetera, were set up when the average death age was about 65. And so now retirement still happens at roughly 65, but people live till 85. And so you don't have to be a rocket scientist to see that, hey, these systems are insolvent. In 15 years, they're all out of money, and the kids won't get these systems. So either you reform them and update them, or else the kids get nothing, right? And so the left right now is acting like, you know, draconian cuts are going to hurt people. Those cuts are nothing in comparison to the mandatory piece. And just to give you some relative measures, right, we had a big debate in our conference today over the defense budget. We need to enhance our defense, right? The rest of the world's getting pretty aggressive, and we're falling behind in our capacity and readiness, and we're not equipping our young folks properly. And so we're talking about $50 billion, trying to find $50 billion there. But that was the sole discussion today. We're moving to do tax reform, however, and on tax reform, we have this border adjustable piece that I don't think is going to go through, right? So if that doesn't go through, then that's $1.2 trillion we're going to have to find some savings for, right, to push the tax cut through and remain revenue neutral. So that's $1,200 billion, right? $1.2 trillion is $1,200 billion. And today we're having a tough debate over $50 billion for defense, just to give people some perspective about the numbers in play here. And so if President Trump wants to get tax reform through neutral and get rid of the VAT tax, the border adjustable tax, we got some heavy lifting to do. And so I think he's going to have to look under a few more rocks, because we got some major money we have to account for.
Let's talk about some of the Democratic accusations now. Nancy Pelosi and Bill de Blasio, Chuck Schumer, I think, have all come out, and so have many other Democrats, saying that this is cruel, it's heartless. Literally, kids are going to die when they look at the Medicaid reductions, as well as some of the social programs. Let's start with Medicaid. Is this effectively what's in the AHCA right now, or are we talking about additional components as well?
It's both. It's what's in the AHCA, and there's some crossover stuff, and that dollar amount we're still sorting through. So there's some additional, but the main point is those cuts, the Democrats are calling cuts, are cuts from the baseline. Medicaid still keeps increasing, right? It just doesn't increase at the pace it was going at. And that pace is bankrupting the country. So again, when they make the charges about children, the Democrats have no plan to balance a budget anywhere. The major Medicare mandatory pieces, Social Security, et cetera, are insolvent in about 15 years. And so that's an irony that they're making these charges against us. We're trying to save these programs for the kids. And they have no – I don't think you can find it, right? I don't think you can find a serious budget proposal they prepared. President Obama left. The economy's growing at 0.7%. The world politics is aflame, and we have serious budgetary problems. And usually you'll get a line out of the Democrats, well, we're going to enhance education or something like that, right? I don't think that's going to do it, and no serious economist does, right? They just give you some side throw-off line. Well, a lot of politics going on right now, but not much substance offered by the other side. They're great at the hurling the insults, but they're short on the economic studies.
And then with these other social programs as well, Congressman, are we also talking about reductions in increases? Are we talking about eliminating duplicative programs? What are you seeing on that front?
Yeah, no, all about Mick Mulvaney, the head of OMB, came in yesterday. He said, look, there's no mystery. It's just like running a business. You look at each of these programs one by one by one, and you compare the benefits against the cost. And he made it very clear. The safety net is not in question, right? The kids coming in, we have hard, tough cases with kids that really do need help, but you got to take care of the fraud, and every able-bodied person should be in the workforce, right? And that's just a win-win. And so able-bodied adults that are capable of work, right now, many are getting federal programming dollars, right? Instead, they should be in the workforce, earning dollars, paying taxes. And then we got more money to pay for the truly needy. And there's no question. I've got plenty of constituents who we got serious issues, and we got to still take care of the least of these. And so that we can walk and chew gum at the same time.
Last topic. As you mentioned, this is the Trump budget, kind of the wish list. And as we've seen from previous administrations, this doesn't necessarily look a lot like what ultimately gets done during the appropriations process. But how confident are you that progress at least can be made in reining in spending in a lot of these areas? Because a lot of people, after watching the omnibus bill at the end of April, are really trying to make sure that the Republicans are going to do what they said they were going to do when it came to federal spending. So what can we expect realistically here?
Well, that is the true challenge right there. I mean, you put your finger on it. And so that'll be the test of our conference. And so some of this we can do through reconciliation with only 51 votes in the Senate. And then a lot of it, the appropriations bills, all require 60 votes in the Senate. So we're going to need some Democrat votes. But the test is, we have the House and the Senate and the President. So Republican voters out there that want fiscal responsibility expect us, when we own all three, okay, you know, we'll compromise. We'll work with Democrats. They got good ideas, right? And we can compromise. But they have 9 votes, and we have all three chambers and all the secretaries and a $4 trillion budget. And so we should compromise, but we shouldn't give away the store, right? And so in my view, the other side is giving away the store too often. Our side, we need to clean up some of this, rearrange the program so the kids get sustained benefits over their lifetimes. We got to get the economy moving. And some of that requires discipline. So our side gets hit hard, but we step up to the plate and take it. So that's our job. And I think the American people expect us to get it straight.
Well, we'll certainly be watching. As you mentioned, many different phases to go here before we see the final numbers. Thanks, Congressman, as always, for your time.
Hey, you bet. Thanks, Greg. I appreciate it.
You bet, sir. Virginia Republican Congressman Dave Bratt represents his state's 7th Congressional District, member of the House Budget Committee. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.